My brothers and sisters, my next topic is the next beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is also an attribute. His name, Al-Musawwir. Again, we have a problem in translating or interpreting the words from Arabic to English, especially when they are Quranic. Very, very difficult. So we try our best. There are hundreds of millions of Arabic vocabulary, and maybe over 30 million in English, so it's very hard to find the proper translation. But Al-Musawwir kind of means the fashioner, the giver of shape and form, the one who gives you your picture. And the one who causes the origin of things to become, so he puts the formula for you to become the way you are. Allah says in the Quran,
هُوَ اللَّهُ الْخَالِقُ الْبَارِئُ الْمُصَوِّرُ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ.
In Surah Al-Hashr, Allah says, He is Allah, the creator, i.e. the planner of His creation, the executor, Al-Bari, and the fashioner of creation, Al-Musawwir. To Him belongs the most beautiful names. How far away from imperfection is He? And He is the most exalted, the most wise. In this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Himself Al-Musawwir, the fashioner. But before He called Himself the fashioner, He said, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari', then He said, Al-Musawwir. So they all come together. That means for Allah to fashion something, it goes through three stages, always. First, Allah creates. Now, when we say create, we generally mean something that is made. But here in this context, Al-Khaliq means the one who plans what he is going to create. So he sets the background laws and the plan and the pre-measurements in place for this creation to come about. An example is like a builder. Before they build the building, they go to the architect, and the architect plans how the building is going to be built. They go and check what it needs, type of soil it needs, based on how the house is going to be built, and everything else. If you're going to have a project, you go to an urban planner. Everything gets drafted and written and drawn and scaled, and all the materials that are needed are planned and put in place. Then you take that instruction, you have created a plan. Now you have to execute it. To execute the plan, you bring all the material and you start to put the material physically based on the formula and the plan that was created. That's called bari', meaning bring to existence. Bring to existence. Then finally Allah says, Al-Musawwir, the fashioner. Included in it is to decorate, to give form. So the building, you paint it, you give it decor, you give it design, you give it character. And then suddenly it's got its own unique form and identity. Of course, the human being is very deficient and weak in his planning, his execution, and his fashioning. We execute, we plan, and we fashion things, but we do not fashion or execute or plan things from non-existence. When it's impossible for a human to bring about anything from nothing. That's the first difference. So when Allah says He is Al-Musawwir, the fashioner and the creator and the executor, He brings it out of nothing. Whereas the human just uses and copies and imitates and borrows from the resources already created for them. Not only that, we use the mind and the intellect, which we did not acquire ourselves. Yes, we developed it in our life by learning, but it is Allah who created that brain and its programming and set it with its own software for you to learn and grow and develop. So nothing comes from us. Therefore, we call Allah Al-Musawwir, the one who brings things out of nothing. Okay. Allah says in the Quran about the human being now, which is what I want to focus on. Allah says,
الله الذي جعل لكم الأرض قرارا والسماء بناء وصوركم فأحسن صوركم ورزقكم من الطيبات ذلكم الله ربكم فتبارك الله رب العالمين.
In Surah 40, verse 64, Allah, it is who made the earth a dwelling place for you to be safe for you to walk on and live on, and made the sky a canopy. Like a canopy, that's how we see it. It's not literal, but we see it like a canopy. It even acts like a canopy. You can use scientific wordings if you want, but in very simple terms, it acts like a canopy. Who shaped you, O human being, who shaped you, and shaped you exceedingly well. He made you beautiful. فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ doesn't mean beautiful, I just added that, that's what we say. But Allah is very precise. He doesn't say He made you beautiful, He said something better than that. He said he made you exceedingly well. Your form, the way you stand, the way you are, made your form exceedingly well. And gave you good things as sustenance. With that shape that He gave you resources and good things as your sustenance to eat, to drink, to look good, to go about in life, to grow, to develop, to create, to innovate, to invent. That is Allah, your Lord. Blessed be Allah, the Lord of the universe. All of this verse talks about His name, Al-Musawwir, the fashioner, the one who brings about form. Does He not deserve our praise and worship, my brothers and sisters? You know, brothers and sisters, there is a narration. Although there is weakness in its chain, it is supported by other hadiths, its meaning is true. That on a day of judgment, a man will be brought with so many good deeds that he's done, more than the mountains. And Allah will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, allow my servant to enter my gardens, Jannah, because of my mercy. The man, seeing his great deeds, thinks that because of his good deeds, he can get more than the position he is given in paradise. So he says, my Lord, I would like to enter paradise directly measured by my good deeds. Because in his eyes, he's big. Allah says then, if you want to make that measure one for one, then, O angels, bring me the blessing of sight. I mean, you couldn't have done these good deeds without the sight. So I gave you resources for it anyway. They put the blessing of sight on the scale, and it was heavier in value than all his good deeds. Why? Because of many of his good deeds that were based on sight, that were dependent on sight, came from Allah. So he says, well, my servant has no more good deeds left. His scale has failed. Put him to hellfire. So then he says, my Lord, with your mercy. He says, put my servant into paradise. You might say, well, why mercy? Then what's the point of working? That's Allah's mercy in itself. The mercy of Allah and His generosity and goodness and kindness is that He rewards people for the little they do thousands and millions multiplied than what they deserve. That is Allah's mercy. Did you not hear our Prophet Muhammad or Allah say in the Quran, whoever does one good deed will be given multiples, 10 by default, up to 70, up to 700. And whoever does one bad deed, Allah will reward, will give you only one sin, just like it, equal to it. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, whoever has a thought and then it turns into an intention of doing something good and then changes their mind, they will still be given one good deed for intending. If they do it, they'll be given up to 700 folds. But if they intend to do something bad and they do it, they'll get one sin for each action of sin. And if they change their mind, I don't want to do it anymore, the bad sin, it'll be counted as a good deed because you changed your mind. You're just sitting there. You have a thought of doing a sin. Yeah, I want to do that. Okay. So you plan for it. You're still sitting where you are. Then you remember Allah. You might scroll on your phone and one of our lectures comes up. A reminder comes up. A verse of the Quran pops up. Something hits you and you say, Astaghfirullah al-Azim, I changed my mind. That is now written as a good deed and you've done nothing. You're just sitting there. You're just sitting there. Allah always brings reminders to us, brothers and sisters. He doesn't leave us alone. He nurtures us until our last breath. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, we created man out of the extract of clay. Then we made him into a drop of life germ. Then we placed the life germ in a safe depository, meaning in the womb of the mother. Then we made this drop into a clot, like a congealed blood, a clot of blood. Then that looks like that. It's not actually a blood clot, but it looks like that. Then we made the clot into a lump. Then we made the lump into bones. Then we clothed the bones with flesh. And then we caused it to grow into another creation. Thus, most blessed is Allah, the best of all those that create. This is also one of the names, Al-Musawwir. Now I want to, since my science background, I can't just pass certain things. I want to just share them with you. Here in the Quran, which some people wanted to disprove the Quran, they came to this verse and they said, your Allah, which is really just means the one true God, he says that while you're in your mother's womb, he says, then we made the lump into bones, then we clothed the bones with flesh. But through modern technology and medical science development, we have now know that the bones harden after the flesh has been created in the embryo. So the flesh comes first, then the bones. But here in the Quran, Allah is saying, bones, then we clothe the bones with flesh. So this is my long time ago, I did research in this and looked into it and found that, in very simple terms, bones and flesh occur concurrently, simultaneously. How but? The bones start off first as a skeletal system, not hard solidified bones. And muscles. The skeletal system, which then turns into bones later on, is in the form of cartilage and connective tissues and muscle. So that cartilage and that skeletal muscle is clothed by the other flesh. But it's just not bone, hard bone yet, but it is the origin of the bone. It's called bone ossification. So the hardening of the bone from cartilage and soft tissue with the assistance of an inherent cell called osteoblasts, which exist inside already. They replace the cartilage with hard bone. So the bone is already there, it's just not in the form of hard bone. That then hardens, and so Allah has spoken the truth. We clothe the bone, but not necessarily hard bone. It was in the form of cartilage, and it was a form of premature, primitive form of the bone. And that's it. So sadaqallahu al-azim, Allah is most truthful. My last words about al-musawwir. Okay, brothers and sisters. We live in a time where social media has become rampant and people's faces and eyes are glued inside of it more and more. I used to say young people, now old and young. We all have this problem. If I go on it too long, I find myself hours have gone. So we've got to catch ourselves. Because of that, the world of social media today has turned into a marketing, materialistic, image, promotion of the self, all of that. And people are affected by what they see. And so more teenagers and older people are developing self-image issues. What they have doesn't seem enough. They always want to do more. Some of them now, because they become ill with this obsession, they start to even change what they look like. Some of them do surgery. Some of people change themselves from what they look normally, nothing really abnormal, and it's never enough. We read articles and news about people who are what society considers the pinnacle of beauty, and yet we read reports of them unaliving themselves because they're never happy with their form. We find people, stories of models, who thin themselves out so much and it's never enough. And in the eyes of the society, they would look, everybody would wish to look the same. There are people who have amazingly beautiful noses. Everybody praises their nose, for example. But wallahi, that same person looks at the mirror and doesn't like their own nose. Read about it. Many people had amazing features, subhanAllah. That's why they say beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you something funny. You know that I celebrate marriages. I marry people off. Some of you here who are born today, you have to thank Allah, and then you have to come to me and say, thank you for doing my parents' marriage. Allah facilitated me for you to be born. I'm just joking. You don't owe me anything. Just about $1,000 each. But anyway, we're going to talk about this, that when I've done people's marriages, you know, people always match people. They look at looks, which looks is important, but to a certain degree, and that's individual. Rarely have I done marriages where I see both the bride and the groom are both really pretty and beautiful. One of them's always a bit more handsome, more beautiful than the other. Sometimes it's so much difference, and you think, how the heck would they get married? Like, what does he find in her? What does she find in him? That's me and you. But to them, they're attracted to each other. Some people like big people. Some people like small people. Some people like skinny people. Some people like, you know, what you call plum people, whatever you want to name them. All shapes and sizes. Allah has put in each person an attraction. Some people like a certain ethnicity, others don't like that, others like a different ethnicity. This is your own taste. Tickles their fancy, doesn't tickle your fancy. I'm telling you about, if I were to give a percentage, maybe 80% of marriages, there's always a big difference between the beauty, between a husband and wife. But the way they look at each other, oh, most beautiful thing in the world. I can go on and on about it, but in all seriousness, look after yourself. Yeah, do exercise if you want to. Alhamdulillah, it's good for you. Eat healthy as much as you can. Decorate yourself. Look after yourself within the Islamic parameters. If Allah tells you to cover yourself in certain places, you cover yourself in certain places. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to wear certain things, wear them. If it doesn't allow you, don't. Because this is what I'm going to say. See this name of Allah, Al-Musawwir, the fashioner? You know what that also means? That you and I do not own our bodies. We don't own them. They are not your full property. Otherwise, you would have had a choice to be born the day you were born. But did you have a choice? No. Someone put you here. You will have a choice how long you want to live. You can say, I want to live 200 years. Can you make yourself live 200 years? No, you can't. Who is the one that controls that? Allah. Some people might say, well, people unalive themselves, or some people try to, but Allah, if He hasn't written for them death, they're not going to die. One guy, there was a thing about him. He jumped off the Westgate Bridge and he survived. He says, God gave me another life, you know, whatever. No, God didn't will for you to die, Allah. Anyway, the point is, you will be born in the gender that you choose. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses your gender. There's stem cell research now, and you can sort of alter the DNA and whatever. Yeah, to a certain extent, you can play around with it. But at the end of the day, you can only work within the parameters Allah gives you. The family you're born into, the ethnicity you were born into, the color you were born into, the shape you were born. Who made you that way? Allah. So who owns you? Allah. The one who owns you, therefore, has entrusted us with this property with you. You have to look after it. Otherwise, why do you feel pain? So that you don't hurt it. Why do you feel goodness when you serve it goodness? Because Allah wants you to reward it in a good way. Based on that, brothers and sisters, as a Muslim, in the Islamic core teachings, we are only allowed to use this body and to do with it what Allah allowed us to do with it. And we are forbidden from using it or doing with it what Allah has forbidden us to do with it. Some examples, and I'll conclude. For example, Allah says in the Quran that Iblis promised. He says, وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ I will command them, and they will change Allah's creation. They will change the entire system of human creation and animals and everything around them. He also said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah curses the person who harms their body unnecessarily. A person, we are forbidden from tattooing our body because you are changing your skin color. We are forbidden from doing plastic surgery on certain parts of our body if there is nothing wrong with it. If it's abnormal and if it's causing you harm or something's abnormal about it, yes, you can do plastic surgery to fix it. But if you're normal and everything's going good, it's haram. Isn't that right? It's haram to change things about your body which Allah and His Messenger has forbidden. And it's haram to use them in a way that Allah had forbidden. And that is why Allah says, the sight, the hearing, and the heart, all of them you will be responsible for. And on that day, the hands will speak, the feet will speak, and they will say exactly what you and I did with them. All of them will speak. That's according to Islamic teachings and beliefs. My brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save you from falling into such a sickness and an obsession with self-image which ruined many lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us appreciate and love the way Allah created us and give us the strength and the pride in the way He made us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who follow a righteous path in this life, the path that leads us to Jannah, and help us to be aware of the things that brings us to hellfire and to save ourselves from it. Thank you for listening. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.